When he took to the stage for a TED Talk in 2013, 19-year-old Canadian Kevin Breal seemed like a typical teenager, athletic, good at school, an aspiring stand-up comic. But Kevin's subject matter was anything but typical.
In the life that only I see, who I am, who I really am, is someone who struggles intensely with depression.
Well, that TED Talk hit a nerve with young people around the world. It got over 2 million views. Now Kevin Breal has written a book, Boy Meets Depression, or Life Sucks and Then You Live. And he joins us from Victoria, Canada. Kevin, welcome. And just to start, let's be clear. When we talk about depression, we're not talking about typical teenage angst, but full-blown, real depression.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for myself, I went through an experience where I was 13 years old. I lost my best friend in a car accident. And that was kind of the first time that I ever sank into this feeling of like being really low. And obviously that had to do with the grief and the pain of losing your best friend. But then there was this deeper level of that as I got a bit older and a bit more into my adolescence. And that was the part that really became difficult. That was the part where I got suicidal and I had these thoughts about just not really wanting to be alive. And I just didn't feel like I was living life. I felt like I was trapped inside of this sort of fog. And so, yeah, I mean, as far as knowing what was going on or having an awareness about being depressed, I really didn't have that. Like, I was just so caught in those moments and they were so real to me that I couldn't see anything outside of that, really.
But this all happened, and like you said, you were in this fog that you didn't really recognize, even though, I mean, you write about your dad and that depression may have been in your family.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think that there were other people struggling around me and certainly in my home life that was true. And I just think that the number one thing for myself that I've come to realize in this conversation is it's a topic that people just tend not to talk about. And as a byproduct of that, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of guilt that can happen when you're sort of struggling with this, because we don't live in a culture, we don't live in a society that sort of tells you how to navigate that landscape of that kind of pain. We live in this culture that's all about achieving and all about success and all about, you know, things that look pretty and shiny, and depression doesn't really blend into that narrative. And so I think there's just a lot of kids growing up who can relate to the way that I felt as a teenager and just don't really know what to turn. And I think that's what the TED Talk showed me. It's just thousands upon thousands of messages from young kids who were struggling. People telling me they had attempted suicide, that they were in recovery. And I just couldn't believe it. These kids, these 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, you know, who on the surface you might think, like, you know, they're growing up middle-class America, sort of the typical cliche dream that our society preaches. And there's stuff below the surface of that. And that's really what drove me to write the book.
Well, I was wondering if you could read a passage from the book, because you do give voice so well to, you know, some of the things that compound an already depressed heart and depressed mind. And because you write really well about how just you were just sensitive about yourself and how much you disliked yourself. And could you read a bit?
Yeah, sure. No problem. I was 16 years old and I hated myself. I hated my face, the way it was long and angular, and how my nose was so pointy it was almost sharp. I hated that my ears were two different sizes, hated it so much that I would never bring it up to anyone, not even as a joke, because then I would have to wonder every time they looked at me if they were thinking about my ears. And even if they weren't thinking about my ears, I would be, because I hated them. So I hated myself, and the way I hid it was through what looked like devastating and radical self-acceptance. I made sure everyone else thought I was in love with myself, almost to the point of narcissism, so they wouldn't think I wasn't normal or something equally awful. I kept my deep self-loathing buried well beneath the layer I let everyone look at. I made sure it stayed that way, as if it was my own personal wonderful secret that was so good I wouldn't dare spoil it by offering it up to the masses.
That's Kevin Breal reading from his book, Boy Meets Depression. You know, I have to say, in that paragraph where you say that you kept your own self-loathing buried beneath the layer that you let everyone look at, it's also like, who did you let help you? Because a lot of people did try to help you, especially in high school, right? Your mom, your sister, counselors.
Yeah.
But you sort of pushed them away. You rejected their help at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally accurate. I pushed everyone away. And part of it was just I didn't yet have the belief inside of me that it was okay to be imperfect, that it was okay to have problems. And I know that sounds really ridiculous, sort of, or maybe naive or something, but just as a kid, you want to fit in. You know, you're going to high school, you're in this culture that says, fit in, be cool, be accepted. And you're worried that if you let people look past the sort of surface layer, which you can control and edit and manipulate to some degree, that people won't accept you for who you are. Like, there's this deep fear, and or at least for myself, there was this deep fear that if people knew who I really was, if people knew how my mind really worked, you know, these sorts of things, that they wouldn't love me. And that's, I think, what held me out of accepting anyone's help. To accept someone's help is to accept the fact that you need help. It wasn't till I reached this rock bottom moment of writing a suicide note, sitting in my bedroom, thinking about literally taking my own life, that I was able to come to the realization that I was like, I got to get this stuff outside of me. I got to talk about this.
So that's what it took, getting to that, basically that point of oblivion before you turned things around or wanted to turn things around?
Yeah, because the thing about the suicide note was that it was not so special or so deep, other than the fact it put every one of my fears onto paper. And for the first time, I could look at them in this sort of objective way. And I went, oh my goodness, like, this has all just been inside of me. And I think that's the number one problem.
Wow. So, yeah, I mean, in a way, it was the beginning of you talking about it through writing about it. I mean, I feel like that's kind of the key, right? Because then you go on to talk about your feelings, like, first to your mother and then to other folks. And then you do it in one of the most public ways possible, through doing a TED Talk. I mean, what made you want to take it so far and tell the world your story?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because that was never the intention. You know, if you watch the TED Talk, you'll see that it's in this really small theater in Vancouver, BC, and there's like 100-ish people there. And it was just a small youth event, TEDx kids event. And I just gave this really short talk. And the intention was only to give the talk really to people in that room. I mean, that was all I could see at the time. I knew the video was being recorded and it would go online, but I didn't really have the conception that people would see it. And I think, to be honest, if I had known millions of people would watch it, I maybe couldn't have been so honest. There was something kind of beautiful about thinking it would go unseen, and it allowed me to access this like really deep place. And when I was able to give the talk, it was like this sort of moment of going like, okay, I can finally own my own story. And that was really all I, on a selfish personal level, wanted out of it, was to be able to own my own story and not to feel like I was running away from these demons or this past or secrets or anything like that. And so then when the talk became sort of this viral thing on the internet, it was this big surprise, and it was really difficult on a personal level to deal with because, yeah, now, you know, you're running into people who you know, maybe taught you in elementary school, and they go, oh, I've seen your TED Talk, and you sort of just realize, like, on some fundamental level, that means they know, like, one of the most personal things about my life that you could know. And it was, you know, really difficult, and it got to a point where I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I really can't run from this thing. And then that was when I started getting messages from kids, and that's what's changed the narrative of this entire thing for me, is just understanding the depth and the scale. There's a suicide every 30 seconds in the world. Like, there's millions of kids just in North America who are cutting themselves every single day, who are thinking about taking their own life, who are depressed, you know? And I just think that our culture, our society, doesn't give a voice to this topic because it makes us uncomfortable. But I just think our comfort level shouldn't matter when this is something that's literally claiming 1 million lives a year on average, suicide.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I think one of the reasons why it's not discussed as much as it could or should be is because one of the defining features of depression is that, like you said, you feel like you're in a fog and that you are alone. I mean, it's not one of those diseases where your first inclination is to reach out for some kind of help. So you have all these, like you said, these millions of people who are, for all intents and purposes, in their minds, on their own. I mean, so for you, I just wonder, like, has the fog completely burned away?
No, because I think to say that would be to say that it's a singular, insulated incident caused by external events and not something that is maybe just a part of my personality type. I'm talking about something right now that happened when I was 17 years old. This is 4 or 5 years past that. My life has changed dramatically. Like, I've been extremely lucky. But do I still get depressed? Absolutely. And does it still happen and feel just as hard as when I was 17? Absolutely. The only thing that's really changed is I have a better community of people around me. I know it's okay to be honest. I have built-in accountability because I have so many kids writing me every single day. And I know that I'd be a total hypocrite to tell them to be honest if I can't be honest myself, you know? And so this is still a part of my life, and it's always going to be.
Well, I'm wondering, for a young person listening to this right now who might be going through the same feelings that you had, what would you tell them?
The number one shift in me that's occurred from when I was a teenage kid to today is that instead of running away from my problems and trying to hide them, I run right into them now. And I try and explore them and unpack them. And I just think that being willing to go where it's uncomfortable, as opposed to hiding, as opposed to trying to play a character or wear some sort of a mask, that's made all the difference for me.
Well, Kevin Briel writes about his struggle with depression in his new book, Boy Meets Depression. Kevin, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.